Proverbs 22, verse 6. 1, 2, begin. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that whatever there will be spoken, Lord, will be in line with your will. I pray, Father, that even as some of us, as parents, our children are all grown up, some of us are still working with our children at home, whether they are young or whether they are teenagers or even young adults. Some of us are from homes, we are not Christian, but Lord, we are the only Christian. And yet, Lord, these habits of life are important spiritual habits that every believer needs to have. Although the emphasis, Father, is primarily on how we can train up a child to have those habits, I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will help all of us to recognize our responsibility, whether to be the trainer or, Lord, under you, be the trainee, to be willing to allow and submit ourselves to your teaching, your instruction, and, Lord, sometimes your admonishment and discipline, in order that we might become the man and woman for God that we need to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We humbly submit this hour into your hands. We ask that the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. Whatever we hear, Father, will be reflective of your heart and your word. Lord, that we'll leave this place knowing what we need to do so that our relationship can be strong, our lives can grow, our character can change more and more to be like you. That we'll learn to do right when the whole world does wrong because of who you are in our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to every heart. Use me, Lord, in a way that only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was a dog trainer, professional dog trainer, and every time he trains a dog, or rather, every time he sees a dog that has a bad habit, he gets very uptight. So he says, I will need to deal with this dog, okay? And what he does is one time he will put... what happened was in his house, this dog, it was his, and he just got it. And every time he would hang up his blankets and all that, the dog would come and pull it down. And then that's bad. That's bad. I need to train. And so what he did was one day he would hang one piece of white towel there, and every time the dog comes, he says, no! Okay, then he put it again, the dog comes, no! So after 2 weeks, the dog begin to realize, I'm not supposed to touch that, okay? And so, one day, this man actually put up the white towel there, and at the same time, he was actually doing his laundry, so he put on other sheets as well. So he went out to town and bought some errands. What happened was, he came back, and so all his bed sheets on the grass patch, only that white towel still stayed on the clothesline. The dog was so trained that he will only not touch the white sheet, but everything else, he will actually go and take. Okay, how many of us think that sometimes our children do that? You know, Mama say cannot touch this one, but she never say cannot touch this one and this one and this one and this one. Okay. And we're going to be looking at the habits of life that all of us actually have. Some of us have lots of good habits. How many of you agree that some of us do have some habits that are not so good? All of us do, okay? And what does the word habit mean? The word habit means a state of mind or behavior that's acquired after frequent repetition. A condition or state of mind that we have acquired after frequent repetition. Some of us as parents, I want us to use this message today to look at the habits of our own lives as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a Christian. Some of us as parents would actually look at our children right now. Some of you have grown up children. Would we be able to honestly before God and say, my children do have good spiritual habits? Some of us who are have little ones that are growing up, can we honestly also say that, well, I'm training, actively training up my children in the good spiritual habits that God wants them to be trained in? Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. There is a direction that God wants our children to go, as parents. And may I say that even as believers, there is a direction the Lord Jesus wants us to go to be more like him. Would you agree with me that the Lord Jesus Christ is a disciplined child? He obeys, he does what is right. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Luke 2:52, I don't think you need to turn there, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and having favor with God and with men. People may not like what he stands for, but they have to admit he has favor with God and with men. In fact, many of the people who heard him preach would marvel and said, what manner of man is this? For he speaketh not as the Pharisees speak, but he speaks as one having authority. I was looking through some training and some child training, and I came across these few. I just want to bring it up as a... These are some of the teachings of the Jewish culture, okay? It's taken from the Talmud, some of you may know. The Semahot, which is the book of mourning, and also the Torah, which is actually the Jewish Old Testament, okay? The five books. There's a few things that is in there that I thought is a good way to start. And after that, I'll go into the four habits this week and four habits next week. As parents, we need to train our children in. And as believers, we need to have in our own lives as well. Okay, I'll just read through some of this. Never threaten children. Either you punish them or forgive them. Okay, that's what the Jewish people say. Okay? Denying a child, this is from the Talmud, denying a child religious knowledge robs the child of an inheritance. You know, I pause there because many Christian parents today don't even bother to read the Bible to their children. And in the Talmud, the Jewish writing saying, denying a child religious knowledge robs the child of an inheritance. Every parent is obligated to train his or her children in the observance of the mitzvot, which is the Old Testament 613 laws. Because it is written to train our child according to God's way. Proverbs 22:6. Mothers should introduce their children to the first five books of Moses. That's just a given. That's just a statement. You don't even ask why. It's just a statement of wisdom. Anyone who does not teach his son the skill or profession may be regarded as if he's teaching him to rob. Can I change this a bit? Anyone who does not teach his son to work is actually teaching him to be lazy. Because by sinful nature, we're all lazy. You have a chance to stay at home, but get an income. Who wouldn't want, right? You'd rather stay at home. Because that's a human nature. But God wants us, even through the teachings, to teach our children to work. A father must provide his daughter with appropriate clothing and a dowry. That's a code of Jewish law. Okay, so a father should be careful to keep his son from lies, from lying. And he should always keep his word to his children. Ouch. Because as parents, sometimes we break our promises to our children. Anger in the home is like rottenness in fruit. That's in the Talmud. Anger in the home is like rottenness in fruit. A parent should never show favoritism among his or her children. A parent should not promise to give a child something and then not give it, because in that way the child learns to lie. The parent who teaches his son, this is important, fathers, a parent who teaches his son, it is as if he has taught his son's sons, and so on to the end of generations. If you teach your child, because of the character that has been transferred to the next generation, it is as if you are teaching the next generation as well. The parent who instructs by personal example, rather than mere words, his audience will take counsel to heart. The parent who does not practice what he so eloquently preaches, his advice is rejected. This is one of the Jewish commentaries to the teachings of the Jewish community. And this last one is so exciting. A father once came to a religious leader with a problem concerning his son. He complained that the son was forsaking the Judaism and morality, and asked the rabbi what he could do. The rabbi wisely answered, "Love him more." Love him more. This is reflective of biblical wisdom, God's wisdom. You know, in this world, when a child goes astray, many parents blame everyone else. But God wants us to set things right. And may we from the scriptures today learn certain habits that we need to absolutely train our children in. Because parents, whatever you teach your child can save his soul. There are too many children broken by irresponsible, lazy parents that when they grow up, you wonder what happened. Parents, just for statistically speaking, for a man child, a boy child, we roughly have about 15 years of training, because after that, they don't want to be seen with you. For a girl child, a daughter, probably have about 18 years. After that, she has to go off also to her different vocations. We only really have 15 years. In the studies of research, character of children is formed. Listen carefully. 80% of a personality of a child is formed by the age of 5. 5 years old. But many parents say, "Never mind, when the child is young, I leave it at childcare. When they grow older, then I stay at home." That's too late. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I shared this before. Maybe some have forgotten, but I just want to use that to impress on our hearts, God's heart, when it comes to the training of children. Sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Let's read the one verse together. Ready? 1. Ecclesiastes. After Psalms, Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes. Psalms is 150 chapters. You close the Bible, aim for the middle, open. Generally, you get Psalms because it's generally there. Okay? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, verse 1. Ready? 1, 2, go. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." About 3 weeks ago, I expounded on this verse. Casting bread in the Jewish thought has the idea of casting something that you live by. Something that the Bible says, what, man shall not live by? Bread alone. Something that you use to sustain yourself. In other words, what the Jewish writer Solomon is saying, throw off something that sustains your own life onto the waters. Something that is a sacrifice to you. And God promises that if you are willing to make that sacrifice, you will see it after many days. In application to child training and even development of own care, when we are willing to put away what's the most important to us, maybe for families, dads and moms, it could be a lucrative multi-million dollar business, but versus training of a child, you are willing to put that away in order to work with your child. God says, you will not regret it. There was a lady by the name of Susanna Wesley. I think many of you know. How many children does she have? She has? I think it's about 19 children. 19 children. How many of you would like to have 19? I think Singapore government would be very happy. 19 children. Of course, you got to pay a baby bonus. Susanna Wesley said this: "I cannot understand how any mother This is paraphrase. She said, I cannot understand any mother who would have any other desires other than to save the soul of their own children. And so Susan Wesley, the wife of preacher, I think Charles Wesley or John, I can't remember who, devoted her priority as a mother for God. You know what she said? My role, I'll devote myself completely to the salvation of my 19 children. And therefore, as a result, she gave up everything she has to give up to ensure the 19 children grow up and live for God. And she says she cannot understand why any mother would prefer the things of this world to the soul of the children in front of her. Four areas of training we need to have for our children. Number one, we need to train our children in the knowledge of the Bible. Very simple principle. We need to train our children in the knowledge of the Bible. I'll give you four reasons why we need to do that. Number one, it is the commandment of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the words which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of all the day that they live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel, you keep your soul diligently. And I want to remind them, the day that Moses, you stood before me, I gave you my word so that you can go down and tell the children so that they will learn. Listen to the heart of God. God says, I want the children of Israel to hear my word so that they can learn to fear who? Fear the Lord all the days of their lives. Can I say that today we live in a very low level fear of God age? We live in an age today that the fear of God in society is very low. That the name of Jesus Christ can be used as a swear word and it's okay. They can learn to pretend to be Jesus Christ and make fun of the name of Christ. You know what's a sadder thing? That the name of Jesus Christ is not even reverenced among Christians. That when the name of Christ is brought down low, we would laugh at the jokes of our friends and say, ha, it's a good one. We will not say, hey, sorry, but that is my Savior you're talking about. I will not tolerate that. So can you kindly stop? You know, it's no different when Jesus went to the cross and everyone was cheering, but no one was standing up for Christ. God wants us to learn to fear His name all the days of our lives, and that we will teach our children to do the same. Moms and dads, can I ask you a question? Do your children have a fear of God in their lives? The only way we are going to teach our children the fear of God is that we fear God first. Because habits are caught more than taught. Would you agree with me? Habits are caught more than taught. I shared before, there was one missionary mom who was very sad one day when the daughter told the dad that, hey, I never seen mom reading the Bible. But actually, mom did. It's just that she reads it. Then she made it a habit after that. Mom is already reading the Bible, but she said the daughter is not seeing at 7 years old. So what she did from that time onwards, she made sure she read the Bible in the hall, somewhere that the children can see. And today, the missionary's daughter is a nurse, and she, no matter how tired, as a nurse, about I think now she's probably about 25 years old, no matter how tired she is, right now, she will make sure she wake up early to read the Bible first before she goes to work as a nurse, because she has seen the habits of the parents, that we may teach our children. It's a commandment of the Lord. The number two reason why we need to teach our children a a knowledge of the Bible because it will make our children wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, therefore, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It is sad that children at a young age know more about Avengers than about the Lord Jesus Christ. That Captain America, strong as he may be, that our children is being given a lesser hero compared to the Almighty God. That our children knows more about American Idol, more about the God they need to serve. You know what happens if our children put faith in Captain America? Because when they grow old, Captain America will fade out because it's not important anymore. And it will not make them any wiser towards salvation. And that's an important thing for parents. You know, as we go through this, please understand, these principles also apply to us as adults. Point number three, training in the knowledge of the Bible is a commandment of the Lord. It makes our children wise to salvation. Number three, it prevents them from straying away from the narrow way. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Many children are erring. In other words, they are making mistakes, errors in their lives because they do not know what the Bible says. You know, I'm very encouraged. Sometimes I drive and some of the children of the parents in church are citing Scripture. They are practicing what they are learning from their moms and dad. That's an encouragement. I want to continue to encourage that. Well, can I say this? Parents, please understand this. Your children in their natural state don't want the Word of God. Your children in their natural state. In other words, if you're just allowing them, they will blossom by themselves. Spurgeon, our brother in Christ, said, you need to cultivate your child's heart for God. You know why? If you leave it to themselves, they will get more corrupted because their heart is already corrupted. If you let it go by themselves, they will get worse and worse and worse. But when we put the Word of God in their lives, they know what God says and they have the power to stand, not their own power, but the power of God. And may I say this? If I may just use my son as an example, the thing he had to go through. You know that Jeremiah was known in camp for not saying a bad word. And one of the police recruits said, if you can make Jeremiah say a bad word, I will do as much push-ups as you want. How easy is for you? Praise God. Jeremiah said, no. You don't play games with my integrity. Parents, do we have children who, when a friend would tell him to do wrong, your children can say, no, Mommy, Daddy has already taught me that it's not right. Some of you teenagers, I fear for you. When you go to the army, you are sitting ducks for the devil. You know why? You have never developed a habit of making sure God's word stays in your heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 that as pastor, I'm supposed to be an example to the flock.
I hope you will use that as an example to want to train your children in the knowledge of the Bible. So that when they meet the things of life, mom and dad, you and I are going to the ground and back to heaven, one day they will have to stand up for themselves and they need to know the Word of God is good enough for me. And I can stand because I've seen it stood in my mom and dad's life and I know Jesus will stand with me in my life as well. Because Jesus promised me he will never leave me nor forsake me. It is one thing to read the Bible, but to be in a habit of practicing and knowing God's word is a different thing. Some of you, as teenagers, know the Bible better sometimes than your parents. But you know the difference? Are you practicing it? Are you practicing it? We need to teach, train our children in the habit of the knowledge of God's word. Because in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It will give them light in their lives. I'm concerned because many teenagers are growing up with darkness. They have never been taught that God will lead them. They have never been taught that they can pray in times of difficulties. They have never been taught just simple reading of the Bible. Do you realize all the stories of the Bible teach God? And we are not just to tell the stories of the Bible, we are to teach our children the God behind the Bible. It's not just that God opened the, or not that Moses opened the Red Sea, it was God who opened the Red Sea. But Moses was the instrument. We need to train our children the knowledge of the Bible. And children, if you're of age, don't blame your parents for not asking you to read the Bible. If you can be very habitually using your Twitter, your Facebook account, you jolly well be able to make a habit of reading your Bible, even if you put your Bible on your handphone. We are personally responsible for our own Christian life. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, the Father will not answer for the Son, neither the Son will answer for the Father. We are all responsible ourselves. But parents, we need to train our children in the knowledge of the Bible. The knowledge of the Bible. That is so important. The amount of money you save in your insurance for your children is worth nothing compared if you would invest your time teaching your children the Word of God. Money you can earn. Character changed by God. You can't. Only God can give you that. Train your children on a daily basis. The first thing they get up in the morning is to read the Bible. Is to know what God says. Not in a rushed fashion. But you know what that means? Children need to see parents reading the Bible too. Because children will say, don't preach to me what you don't practice. Oh, that convicts our heart, right? But that's important. And I believe this is the principle of God. Do you realize whatever Jesus told us to do in the Bible, you can always find an example of Jesus doing it himself. In John 15:13, I love this. No greater love had no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus said that. What did he do? He gave his life for us. Right? He washed the feet of his disciples. Whatever you see me do, do. The example of Christ is always backed up. Sorry, the word of Christ is always backed up by his example. In order to train your children to read the Bible, parents, don't just tell them, do it. And you will find yourself benefiting too. Point number one, first habit. Training number two. We need to train our children in the habit of prayer. We need to train our children in the habit of praying. This is weird for some. My children don't even know how to pray. They don't even know how to talk properly. So I'll just give you an example. There was one girl, 3 years old, I think I shared before, and when she was praying, she said, "Dear God, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, H, M, R, T." Then the child, "Why are you praying?" "Well, I figure God is so smart, he probably can put the words together anyway." You know? Even if children think, "Thank you, oh, Mama." Don't chide them, just practice that. You need to train our children in the habit of prayer. Children need to see us praying. Do you know that? Because what's important to you, parents, will be important to your children. If getting money, working is important, your child will learn that. But if you see reading the Bible, serving God, that's important, they'll catch that. Three reasons why you need to teach your children the habit of prayer. Number one, it's a God-given instruction to pray.
Luke 18, verse 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to pray. That's what Jesus said. Is God given instruction to pray? Number 2 is apostolic instruction to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We have to constantly pray. But you know what? The third is the most practical. It helps the child to know what to do in times of crisis and need. Can I say this? When your teenage children go through the changes in life, parents, have you taught them that there is a God who loves you so much that wants to direct you to His will? That child, all you need to do when you go through the hard times, mommy is not there, daddy is not there, you can bow your knees or your heart to God and pray. And God will give you the light you need. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes as parents, we face the trials and conflicts of our lives. We would fight there, blame that and everyone else except bowing the knee to pray. And that's why our children learn to fight when they get into trouble. Why? Because they are getting the habits from our lives. We'll fight rather than pray. You know, the first thing we need to do, we're going to hopefully practice this in church camp. The first thing in crisis, you know what, as a family of God, we need to do? Pray. Don't blame dad, don't blame him. Dad may have made the worst mistake in his life. The mom will say, Dad, I love you, let's pray. God has a reason why this is happening. And when the children see the response of the mom with such humble submission to God and the husband, guess what will happen? And when they see the family, no matter how much crisis they go through, it's a humble submission. And the family holds hands and pray. Many children today don't even know that they can pray to a God who answers prayer. Would you say amen to that? Do you still believe our God answers prayer? Parents, if it does, then teach your children to pray. Your boss is not going to always provide your income because international economics determine Singapore's economy. Yes? Although Singapore is a bit stronger now, our currency is up against the Malaysian ringgit. Alright? But you have no guarantee of your job. In 1984, there was so much retrenchment, those who can remember. No guarantee your boss will pay your income. Not so. You think your property will always be the same price? Nothing can determine that. But you know what? Whether it's in the sun or in the rain, when the trials come, when your children learn to pray, nothing moves their heart. Amen? When you're able to settle your heart and say, my mom, when I was young, taught me to pray. Now I'm going through a difficult time. I know God hears because I've seen God answering my mom and dad's prayer. And I know mom has trained me to pray. Now I can pray too. Will your child turn to prayer when they're in crisis? Will your mom and dad? Mom and dad, when you are in crisis, what do you do? Blame one another? This is a common thing of life. I've seen it again and again. And sometimes, to our shame, we do that too. But you know, God wants us to teach our children to pray. Because God invites us to His presence. Amen. In the past, do you realize in the Old Testament, we don't have that privilege? You have to go to the high priest. But when Jesus Christ died, the veil was torn, indicating that we can go direct through Jesus Christ to pray. You know, Christians, God has given us so much privilege. Let's use it. And you know what? Teach our children to use it too. It could be as simple as, Dad, can I encourage you a practical step? Children, before you sleep, let's come together, let's pray. That's all. It will take less than 5 to 10 minutes. But these are the repetition that you need to do on a daily basis. Can I say this? I have had parents tell me, Pastor, I don't pray, my children will scold me. Bah, you need to pray before you eat. Remember, how many of you had the experience before that the children was... how many of you... My mom cannot, must pray first. Because they learn from the example of the adults. Can I say this? If your children have developed the habit in his teenage years, parents, don't stop. Because when you stop, your child will stop too. Because there are other distractions that may come. But when your child consistently see you praying, even though you're an adult, not your adult parents, even though you're old, they will realize that prayer works. One of the things I've learned in my, I hope I have some background experience to glean on. My children have seen prayers answered in their lives. That's why they believe in prayer. Many parents talk about prayer, but they have never found God answering a specific prayer. You know, we need to come to a place. I'm thankful. I'm sure some of you may have taught your children to pray and they were answers to prayer. Children need to see that God answers prayer. Can I say that again? Children need to see that God answers prayer. But Brother Johnny, I thought we live by faith. No, children need to see because the faith is not there yet. But that's why the Lord Jesus Christ healed the sick. And that's why the Lord just showed him the works. Why? So that they may be moved to think, hey, there's a God. And then hear his word and believe. We need to train our children in the habit of prayer. Third training we need to give our children. Training in habits of diligence to attend spiritual meetings. Training in habits of diligence to attend spiritual meetings. What does that mean? It means every time the church door is open, any activity of the church, your child will be there. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. The first part says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some people are in a habit already. The manner of some is, Paul is saying in those days, some people are already in the habit of forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Paul says, don't do that. But exhorting one another, build up one another, and so much the more is this day approaching. The first reason is because this apostolic instruction is a command to be obeyed by believers. We must bring our children to attend church when it's open. In Luke 4:16, first reason is because it's apostolic instruction. Number two, it was the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this is a very strong reason for us to obey that. It was the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it should be the habit of all those who love him. Luke 4:16, the Bible said, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. This refers to Jesus. And as his custom was, that was his habit, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. You know, when Jesus did, I believe this verse tells us it was the habit of Jesus to be in God's house when it's time to go to God's house. That's what the Bible says. Yes, under the Jewish law, it was sin not to do that. And they, of course, they were bound by law, but can I venture to comment on this? I believe the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just want to obey the law. He loved God too. That's why he was there. Do you agree with me? Because he taught everyone, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. You know, in the New Testament, God puts Hebrews 10:25 to encourage us to be in church. Of course, it's an imperative, it's a command. But you know what God wants us to obey? Attend church because we love God. And the pastor, I can call you, I can SMS you. But attendance at church, you need to be there because you love him. And you can be an encouragement to someone else. Tell your child why they go to church. And do not allow your child to grow up making excuses for not coming to church. Mark it down, parents. After that, I've given an example. If you make an excuse not to come to church, very soon your child will do the same. Some people may contend, but Brother Johnny, sometimes the service is too difficult for my young child to understand. Sometimes I was thinking through this also. Yes, there's two things. One is this, after I talk about another one, about Singapore being very pressurizing. There's so much things in our thing. But let me just deal with this first. Sometimes people, the service is too difficult for my child to understand. I thought so until the Lord showed me a few verses. Let's look at a few verses in Exodus 10 verse 9. Moses said, as he was asking the Pharaoh to he's going to leave Egypt. He told the Pharaoh, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and all our herds. We will go, we must hold a feast unto the Lord. We are going to go to hold a feast with all our children as well, whether they understand it or not. We are taking the lead. Okay? That's in Exodus. In Joshua 8, verse 34, 35, and afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, and according to all that's written in the book of the law, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. In other words, the little ones were standing beside their parents as Joshua was reading the words of the law. They may not get everything that is heard, but they see the example of their parents giving reverence to the word of God when it's being preached and practicing it. In Acts chapter 2, 21 verse 5, and when we had accomplished those days, this was Paul, they were leaving, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we all out of the city and we kneeled down the shore and prayed. The children were with them. I said it before, I'll say it again, there was no youth ministry, there was no Sunday school in the times of the Bible. The children were with their parents in the worship service every time. We do it because children are becoming more rowdy, perhaps, and they need, maybe the younger ones needed a little bit more help that will cater to their needs. But can I say this? The rule is that there was no children's ministry. There was no chapel. Children just sat there. Okay? Those were the Jewish people, of course. But at the same time, we need to understand the children. God wants them to be together in the worship service too. 1 Samuel 3 verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of God yet revealed unto him. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3, he was already serving God. Some people allow their children, when parents actually say, but you know what, they cannot understand the word of God because it's too adult. Some people allow their children to watch movies that are adult themed. They would see immorality on television. They would see dancers who do not dress appropriately in maybe a music show. And that's okay. But when it comes to instructing the word of the Lord, oh, that's too hard for my children. You are sinning against the soul of your children when you reject, when you do not allow the word of God to be given to them. And yet we put our children before this adult theme variety shows. We need to be very careful. The difference is that one caters to the flesh. You know why children enjoy the kind of show? You know why children hide and they shoot? You know why? That caters to the flesh. Very easily digestible. Would you agree? You give a children something they like, they'll eat it. And children like Avengers. Ah! I'm not even green. No, we will put that in front of our children. Spiritual, the thing about it, when we put our children before the Word of God, it requires training for the children to absorb. That's where you come in, parents. You know the difference? When we put our children, see, it's very easy to shove our child an iPad. It's very easy to give our children computer games. You know why? It's easily digestible. It caters to the flesh. Are we listening? But when you teach your child the word of God, that requires prayer, love, the Holy Spirit, and the patience and determination of a parent say, even if I die, I need to tell my child Jesus loves him. And I want him to get it, not just here. I want my child to understand that principle in his heart. The only way to train up a child in this habit is to bring the child to church. You will never regret it, parents, if you faithfully commit yourself to that. There was a man of God who said this: if a child misses a meeting, he is considered a murderer of his own soul. Wow. The man of God said, if a child misses a meeting where there's spiritual feeding, he is deemed a murderer of his own soul. Do you realize this? Some children get the Holy Spirit working in their hearts even when parents don't know it. And it could be, how many of you have had your children come to me, Papa or Mama, what is praying? And suddenly, your child, maybe there's an interest that was sparked on how the Sunday school teacher taught, something in the song caught their attention. And Parents, can I say this? If your children come to you and ask you something about something they learned at church, don't push them away. Please, tell them how and lead them to a knowledge of God. Because it could be at that time the interest has been stirred up by the Holy Spirit, that a child will come to a parent, and it could be, I believe, many times God would use His grace to interest the child, to wake up the parents spiritually, to realize, hey, your child is being awakened, do something about it. I've seen was a pastor who compromised. There was one time the pastor was going to church, and there was one time, just one time, the 13 or 14-year-old son said, Dad, Wednesday I can't come to church. I said, why? We need to be church, that's God's rule. No, Dad, they were having selections, and it was very important that I did. And so after much discussion, Dad said, okay, just for one time. When the child was 17 years old, he had earrings, long hair, tattoos. And the dad just wondered what happened to the child. And as he was talking to the child said, Dad, will you let me go that day on Wednesday night? I realized it's not important. Not, if you are okay to miss it one time, it's not as important as you said it is. Oh, Johnny, this is too far-fetched. Please don't try it. Because the devil can use anything to destroy the soul of your son. And I've seen it happen. Just the missing of one service. It was a man who was being convicted by the Holy Spirit one day. He was walking away from God. I may have shared this. This really broke my heart. I was preaching and was pounding on the... And he was out there. And he was sitting right back there. Many people who were... You know, he was just listening. And then he was pounding on, and then someone opened the door, and he turned around and looked. And then later on, I think it was a few months later, I spoke to him and said, what happened to you? He said, Brother Johnny, remember you preached a message? Yeah, I remember. You know, at that time, God was convicting my heart. And then I was distracted by this guy who opened the door. And then after that, I didn't feel anything. I just sat there. Can I encourage you as pastor? Please don't. If you need to go to the toilet, just use it aside. If you need to go to the toilet, please go to the toilet before the service. Because when the Holy Spirit moves, I don't want anything to distract when God is working. And please don't talk or play on an iPad or iPhones and concentrate on the work of the Lord. And some of us shut our minds to that. But when your children is open to the working of the Holy Spirit and we do not do anything about it, this 17-year-old son did not want to come back to church after that. Because that, if I can miss one, it's not as important to you. You don't think children think like that? Please don't test it. Satan will use anything to destroy the soul of your child. And parents, Satan will use anything to destroy your soul as well. Train your child in the habits of diligence to attend spiritual meetings. Final one. Training your child to a habit of trusting and faith. Faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. This is absolutely important in the Christian life. Because God says without faith, you cannot please Him. It's impossible. There is no way around it. Without faith, it is impossible. Absolute zero to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. If you pray, you need to have faith. Otherwise, how can God answer you? That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that cometh to God must believe that he must believe. A definite article must believe that he is. There is a reward, and then diligently seek him. God rewards all faith. No faith, no reward. Remember, many times in the Gospels, thy faith had made thee whole. It was through your faith in the Lord Jesus that made you whole. So when you pray, when you believe, that's what... Parents, we need to teach our children to have faith in God. Because to help our children please the Lord, the child needs to learn to have faith in the Lord. Would you agree with that? There's a direct application of this verse. And so if our children live by their lives without trusting and everything is given to them all the time, they don't learn to have faith. How do we help our children have faith? Number one, by the word of God. The Bible is very clear. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why the very first thing you need to train your child in the habit is to knowledge of the Bible. Your child has no basis for faith in God if they don't know a knowledge of the Bible. Parents, you do not have a basis for your faith if you do not have a knowledge of the Bible. Knowledge of the Bible is just the starting point, you know. It also means understanding, application, obedience, and faithful adherence to it. God is not interested in us reading the Bible. I take that back. God wants us to read the Bible, but reading the Bible alone is not going to help you. It's just like some of you students, when you just study one time, oh, finish, then you go in, you still fail. Why? Because you never study. I had one friend, his name is Mr. Tan, Jiso Tan. He said, I very kang one. You know, my dad say, I don't care whether you play or not, as long as you stay 3 hours at the table and study. And he said, okay, no, I'll just stay 3 hours at the table. So 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, he just stay at the table. Look out the window. After 5 o'clock, he go and play. Who are we bluffing? You know, ultimately, we bluff ourselves. Right? We may be reading the Bible and think we're okay. Dear friend, if the Bible doesn't change us, there's something wrong with Bible reading. I say that again. When you read the Bible, it doesn't change us. There's something wrong with Bible reading. It's just like if I put petrol into a car and the car doesn't move, what happens? Something is wrong with the engine. Yes? Very simple principle. Why is it that we cannot understand and say, if I read the Bible, it doesn't change my attitude, it doesn't change my obedience to my mom, it doesn't change my attitude towards authority? Something wrong with that. We need to, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number one, we need to give them the word. Number two, by exercising faith. Exercising faith. What does that mean? Hebrews 5:14, the Bible says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Notice Paul says, he was telling the Hebrew Christians, he says, you guys, I cannot tell you about the stronger meat of the Bible. I cannot tell you more things about the Bible. Why? You need to go back to Sunday school again. You cannot even be a teacher. When the time you are to be a teacher, I have to teach you the basic doctrines again. Why? And then Paul says, the stronger meat. You know, if Noah, you know how cute Noah is now? How many of you will give Noah a piece of steak? How many of you like steak? Yes, you like steak, right? Would you give Noah a piece of steak? I don't like it. He can't buy yellow teeth. Or does he? Maybe one or two, I don't know. But you know what? As you're growing older, that's why people like Sean and Basoni, they can take steak. Amen? One of these days, no one will be able to eat steak with them. Amen? Yeah? Of course, probably Sonny will give him a treat first, and later on, when Sonny gets grow older, then, yeah. Because Sonny has teeth, I hope. Yeah, yes, okay, nice teeth. But no one doesn't. But you know what? As you grow in Christ, some of us still have problems understanding the basic doctrines of the Bible. And some of us will say this, right, Johnny? I have problem answering questions when someone asks me the question. If we've been a Christian for more than 10 years, we should be able to teach others. You know, that's very convicting, I know. Because God convicts my heart about many areas as well. But you know, by exercising faith means, you know what's exercising faith? Just obeying what God says. Example, if you have exam on Monday, and Sunday is the Lord's house, say, Pa, I still go to church. That's exercising faith. You are putting your faith on the word of God, and you believe it. And then after you go back, you discipline yourself, take your lunch, put away all your electronic devices, and study for next day. That's exercising faith. And then, how do we do that? By the word of God, by exercising faith, by helping the child learn to believe what you say is right, and is to be followed and obeyed. This is very important. By helping the child learn to believe what you say as parents is right, and it is to be followed and obeyed. That means that as parents, when we tell our children we need to do this and this, when we make decisions in the family, our children need to say, Dad knows what he's doing. I'll just trust it. I may not understand everything that's happening, but I trust Dad because He will seek the Lord. He will read the Bible. He will tell us the Bible decisions. And whatever decisions he make in the family, I believe him. Our child needs to be able to see that, both in the character of the father and the mother. I'm also speaking to myself. And also, as he said the things, the child must need to have simple faith. I trust what dad says. Just like a little three-year-old will say, Pa, can I have my... Won't say, Pa, can I have my milk? Say, Nan-nan. And say, okay, wait. And then the child will stay there and play. Then the milk will come. That develops trust. Do you agree with that? If a child can say, Mama, milk. And then Mama say, wait. And then Mama comes with a bottle of milk. That develops that trust. A child is born with a trusting heart, generally. They trust those closest to them. When their needs are being met consistently, as in a young child, they learn to depend on the individual from whom such care comes. This is the essence of so-called bonding. It requires active interaction between two people. You know why sometimes the Bible is meaningless to us? God wants to speak to us, we shut our minds. We read out of habit, we read out of just out of sheer duty, but we don't say, God, what are you asking me? Or what are you telling me? As adults, we are to be a trusted people by our lives. Many Christians are trusted at their workplace. But you know what? That's not what God is looking for. Only. We are to be faithful at our workplace. We are to be faithful in God's work as well. We are to be faithful in what God says as well in His Word. That is what. There are many, many Christian children who are excellent workers in their workplace and careers, but they do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me? Why? Because there's no emphasis. As a servant of the Lord, I need to highlight that there's a big hole in Bible Christianity because many parents put so much emphasis in character building in their careers, but they put absolutely zero when it comes to serving and obeying God. And Christians, we need to teach our children to have faith enough to say, this is what the world tells me. I'll get $2 million if I move this career. But what calls me to the mission field? Because my dad, mom has been praying with me, I have learned to by faith forego that. And I'll follow the Lord. How many of your children would do that? How many of my children would do that? You know, it's still a struggle for my children to trust God. I don't put them down. And please don't treat them as like super spiritual because they all have the same struggles as you and I. They have to go through their own fights of faith as well. So do you and your children. Let's help one another. There was this particular man who visited a rehabilitation program in the prison. And he was able to teach some of the children, those are young adults who were in prison. And as the guys told them the stories why they were in the prison, he began to analyze and say there's a common trend. They said they have been affected by the community and the people they hung out with. Almost all the problems and successes in their lives boil down to their own relationships with their dad, their mom, and the people around them. These guys have gotten themselves into relationships that led to trouble. Either they joined gangs, or hung out with drug addicts, or met girls who took them down a wrong path. The reason they were in prison was because of their friends. And their friends, in a way, put them there. It's because of the influence of their friends. It was the friends who taught them, don't listen to mom and dad. It's the friends who taught them all the things that social networking has. It was their friend who introduced to them all the influences of this world that took them out. Parents, we need to be there to influence our children. Not just to influence our children, but to influence them, pass on our faith to them. That means we need to have faith in the first place. Parents, we need to say what we mean and mean what we say. It builds your child's sense of confidence in what is said. This is so important because the Lord Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Parents, if by your life you say, I'm a Christian, do you know what it means to your child? How your child perceives Christ is through your life. Many of us say we're Christians. I'm a Christian pastor. What a person thinks of the pastorate, what a person thinks of a Christian is in that person. One person said like this, people may not read the Bible, but you may be the only Bible they will read. Because you say you're a Christian. Are your words encouraging? Are your attitudes right? Are your actions kind and loving? When people offend you, do you respond in hatred? Or do you respond in love? Do you respond in the way that when your child looks, hey, how come that person never fight back? Why papa like that? Why mama like that? And then when they read the Bible, Jesus says, love your enemies. Not love your animals, huh? Love your enemies. Oh. When the Lord Jesus Christ had his group of disciples going through a town, the Samaritans in Luke chapter 9, and the Samaritans hated Christ and they began to curse him, and the disciples said, we need to call fire down from heaven, Lord, and destroy them. And Jesus says, what manner of men are ye? What kind of spirit do you have? Son of man has not come to destroy man's life, but to save it. And at that point, he's like, whoa, okay. Do you realize the spirit of Christ was transferred to the disciples so that when they were persecuted, what did they do? They pray for their enemies. We need to teach our children faith. There was one particular man a child who went to school and defended the Santa Claus story. Remember this story? He went to school and he kept telling, no, there's Santa Claus, there's Santa Claus, there is worship of the Santa Claus. His parents were Christians, there's Santa Claus. And then, oh, no, la, you're so silly, don't have la. Don't have Santa Claus one night. He was so angry because dad and mom taught him there was Santa Claus. He was so... Until one day, he got into a fight because of Santa Claus. Right? His parents came and dad, mom, there's a Santa Claus, right? You said that, right? It was very hard for dad and mom at that point to say, actually, it's just a story. I never forget the last phrase of that boy to the mom and dad. Dad and mom, I will never trust you again. You know what? This is just one scenario. Is it possible that some of our teenage children one day will walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ and point to their parents and say, because of the way you live your Christian life, I will never be a Christian anymore. I'm not here to put a guilt trip, but I read the testimonies on the internet of Christians. Oh, there was one girl who was in Independent Baptist Church, was serving the Lord, she was faithful. But every time she had a question, no one bothered to answer her. No one bothered to spend time and teach her. Today, 25, she's a freelance writer. I said, I'm de-churched. Because no one bothered. No one bothered. Your child is the most precious possession you will ever have, parents. Nothing is more important. Not your job, not your life if you're a Christian, because when you die, you go to heaven. Not your career, not your bank statement. Your child is the most important. Some parents say, no, I'll reason with my child and all that, but let me explain that children sometimes may not believe. Or rather, this point is we need to tell our children that children need to obey because they learn to trust you. But some parents, no, I need to reason with my child so they can understand what they're saying. Let me explain that some children at a young age will not believe. Or rather, will not understand everything. Does that make sense? At the 2, 3 years old, some parents want to reason with a 3 or 4 year old. You know, I have a problem with that. You know why? Some of us don't even know how a child thinks at 3 years old. Would you agree with that? How a child thinks at 3 or 4 or 5 years old, what's changing in their minds? Have you studied? Have you learned? God insists that you tell the child you obey because I'm your dad. And lovingly teach the child to obey. As they grow older, they can understand. That is the essence of faith. That is the essence of faith. And sometimes children, can I encourage you when dad and mom says do this? Just say, yes, mom, I obey you. Because you're my mom, I love you. Now just do what you say. Of course, when the teenagers grow a bit older, they may want an explanation. Then, and mom, we must be ready for an explanation as well. There's a place for trying to understand, but if this goes on, you know what? We're teaching our children, why cannot? Why cannot? If you had these children, why cannot buy? You got money, why? You tell lies. Last time you say no money to buy, I opened your wallet, got $80. Huh? Children can reason with you too, but you know what? Over time, as you grow up, the children will learn to argue. And so, in Singapore, you're taught to challenge everything. Don't believe everything you hear. Unfortunately, the whole culture of Singapore sometimes causes people to be very... On the online, People will say, wow, so-and-so won. I'm saying in North Korea, in North Korea, because they don't have television, right? Some of you may know. In North Korea, you know, North Korean people were taught that they only lost to Brazil in the World Cup, in the finals. They say, oh, yeah. And it was all propaganda, all wrong or false. But they believed their leaders. They were given a lie. They didn't even know about it. We need to learn to teach our children to obey because they learn to trust. We need not explain everything to our children. And parents, you know why? Can I say this? If your child needs explanation of everything, they're going to have a problem next time. Because God sometimes doesn't give you an explanation for the things you go wrong in your life. And the things that go wrong in their life is not God's fault. God is too wise to make any mistakes. If our children has to have an answer for everything, we're teaching our children to many times also doubt God. And if we as parents need answers for everything, but we don't move on in faith, can I say this? The book of Job is a very good example. God doesn't give answers for everything. Because God wants us to learn to submit to a Heavenly Father that loves them. We need not explain everything to our children, but by our lives, follow through with the things we said. If we say that God is love, then we need to love. If we say that God forgives, then we need to forgive. If we say that we need to be faithful, then we need to be faithful. It is an important principle. Parents, can I say, everything you teach your child, make sure it's in your own life. That is hard, but that is God's will. For the sake of our children, be what God wants us to be. And then our children will be what God wants them to be because they see you imitating Christ. In James chapter 2, verse 15 and 17, the Bible just says, faith without works is dead. If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to build the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith if it has not works is dead. Parents, we need to back up our faith with our works. Our lives need to represent the faithfulness of Christ. Yes, Pastor, can I just say something that sometimes may be hard to swallow, but I believe it's important. Some of our children are empty of faith because we are empty of faith. I believe many of us here are trying to live up to a standard that God wants us to. And praise God for that. We need to keep encouraging each other to do that. I can tell you, when we have different stages of life, we change in life, we really need God's faith to move on and trust God that the same principles we use in this situation, we also use in a different situation. We need faith in that. But parents, is it possible that sometimes our children don't see the faith in us? We just live by the flesh and live the way we do things and just continue on day in, day out, the same thing. But if we train our children to faith, we need to have a lifestyle of faith and trust and modeling our life of faith to your children. And as we close, 4 points. Next week, we talk about 4 other points. Number one, we need to train our children in the habit of Bible knowledge. Your parents, if you have not started, it's never too late to start now. Because the Holy Spirit can take. All you have need is, God, I'm sorry, I've missed the boat. God says, if you're repentant, I'll send you another boat. Amen? That's God. His grace is always extended to us when we are willing to come back to Him. Train your child in the habit of Bible reading. Some of you teenagers do not have a habit of reading the Bible. You need to. We need to train our children in the habit of praying. It could be just 5-10 minutes a day, but do you realize that if you pray for 5-10 minutes a day, after a while you extend your time because you find that there's too many things to pray for? You need to build up your child also in a habit of attending spiritual meetings that will help their souls, spiritual camps. I know in Singapore sometimes it's hard because of leave and all that, I understand that. But you know, what do you do when you actually have an opportunity? Would you say, I'll pass on this one, I'll do something else? Your children see that. Your children see that. And your children will make the same decisions that will harm their soul. Am I threatening you? No, I'm not. Please don't take that. God says that if we will not allow the Word of God to be our decision maker, you are putting your life on sandy ground. And we need to train our children in the habit of faith. If you are not a parent today, do you have these habits in your life? Bible reading, prayer, being faithful to attending spiritual meetings, and trusting God in faith. You know, friends, like, do you realize this is your number one priority to develop? These habits are essential to developing your relationship with God. Would you agree with that? These are very essential. Just like a soldier have to train, have to jog, have to know how to use his rifle. These are the very basic things. But if the very basic things we are not even doing, no wonder we have problems. No wonder we're not spiritually fit to deal with that. Can I encourage you? Next week we deal with four other things we need to train our children in. But let the Lord deal with us in this fall. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the attention of your children. Lord, I don't say I'm perfect. None of us can. But God, these are important principles that we need to put in our lives. And Father, I pray that even as we sing the closing hymn later, doing the right thing, do right. Lord, I pray that you would help us as parents search our hearts, Lord, and help us to aim to do the right thing, to put faith where it should be, to pray where we should be, to help our children develop Bible reading as it should be, and to teach them to be faithful at spiritual meetings. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. I know that in the hearts of some of our parents, Lord, there is no parent here who do not love their child. I just pray, Lord, these are the little things spiritually that can be done in the lives of little ones or even teenagers so that their lives will be strong. With eyes closed, heads bowed, can I just ask this? If you're a parent today and say, Lord Johnny, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. I want to be the parent that God wants me to help train my children in these habits. Is there someone like that? I'll just pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see parents' hands putting up. Just put it up, put it down. Anyone else? I'll just pray for you, parents, and in your hearts, if God has spoken to your heart, pray and say, God, we need a practical plan how to achieve this. Is there someone else? Or maybe you're not a Christian. You're a Christian, but you're not a parent, but God has convicted you about your habits. You'll spend more time before the computer rather than the Word of God. You'll spend more time reading SMSs and all that rather than praying. And God has said, let's put your priorities back. Is there someone like that? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I'll be the type of Christians with good habits in my life. Is there someone like that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every mom and dad that's put up their hands. Lord, without your help, we can do nothing. I pray, Father, that these habits will be entrenched in our lives. That we'll humble ourselves to realize, Lord, it is your heart's desire for your young ones to be taught the Word of God, to learn to pray. Father, to learn to be diligent at the spiritual meetings, and so to be diligent in having faith, learning to trust what our parents say, and ultimately as they grow, to learn to trust God in this Word. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray even as we sing the closing hymn, Lord, for every mom and dad who have put up their hands, I pray that their lives will change with regards to their priorities and their training approach to their children. Because as children, Father, they are just sponges for us to fill. Help us to fill them with the Word of God and the right things. Bless every family, Lord. When I sing the closing hymn, anchor these thoughts in our lives. And Father, perhaps the words of this song will be a goal that we have for our children to do right in all situations, irregardless of the consequences, Lord. We'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.